life, because simply you'd want to do things His way. Amen. Well, go ahead. Let's start off with a word of prayer. Let's come before our Father in heaven. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for this time. And as our hearts, our minds are fully submitted to you, Father, I pray, Lord, that your holy presence will just fill this entire place. As we know, your holy warring angels and your ministering angels are all over this place right now. We can experience the fullness of your sweet and loving presence. And there is fullness of your love, your peace, and your joy. Father, we pray that you will have your way in this time, because truly we desire you more than anything. And we want you, Lord, to show us how to live our lives. Father, we love you and we praise you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray all these things. And everyone says, amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So we're continuing our sermon series called Extremely Dangerous Prayers. And we are on part 10, okay, which is entitled The Believer's Unified Prayer in the Book of Acts. I'm going to tell you what that is all about. But in this prayer, it is not the prayer of just one person now, but it is of several believers. We don't know exactly who they are, but we know that's what the scripture tells us. And to really understand the significance of this prayer, I think we really need to start from the very beginning of chapter 4 in the book of Acts. And in the book of Acts, chapter 4, we find, first of all, Peter and John. They're standing before the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin were this assembly of rabbis and teachers of the law. And these religious teachers were clearly upset at both of them because, guess what? They had been teaching to the people about the resurrection power of the dead through Jesus Christ. And to them, this was heresy. This is something didn't go well with them, because this went against their teaching, you know. And the other thing that they did was that they prayed for healing for a crippled man, and this crippled man got healed. And because I guess he got healed, they were not happy with that. They were thinking, you know, you're not supposed to be doing that. But it was such an awesome thing that they did, because they did it through the name of Jesus Christ. Yet these teachers of the law, they were upset. So you got to understand, their following with Peter and John, they had increased the number of people coming to their services, and it increased dramatically, and they were up to like 5,000 believers. And these rabbi leaders, right, had them arrested, and they had every intention to throw them into jail and make them suffer for what they had done, okay? And so the next day, as the two disciples stood before the high priest and the teachers of the law, right? Like I said, they were the assembly of the Sanhedrin, right? They were asked this question, okay? So it's not in your notes, just listen. I'm going to read what it says in Acts chapter 4. It says, "By what power or in whose name have you done this?" And verse 8, it says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Well, let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ.'" Oh, I love that. He just comes out and says, "It is by the powerful name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, the man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one referred to in the scriptures where it says, 'The stone that you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone.'" And he continues, he says, "There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved." The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing right there among them, there was nothing the council could say. So they ordered Peter and John out of the council chamber and conferred among themselves. Verse 16, it says, "What should we do with these men?" they asked each other. "We can't deny that they have performed a miraculous sign, and everybody in Jerusalem knows about it. But to keep them from spreading their propaganda any further, we must warn them not to speak to anyone in Jesus' name again." So they called the apostles back in and commanded them never again to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. Verse 19, it says, but Peter and John replied, do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard. The council then threatened them further, but they finally let them go because they didn't know how to punish them without starting a riot. For everyone was praising God for this miraculous sign, the healing of a man who had been lame for more than 40 years. And guess what? Because they prayed, Peter and John prayed with total heart, and they knew, right? It was not just them that were praying, it was all the believers, it tells us. This miracle took place. Then in verse 23, it tells us this. It's in your notes. It says, as soon as they were freed, Peter and John returned to the other believers and told them what the leading priests and elders had said. When they heard the report, it says what? All the believers lifted their voice together in prayer to God. It's a prayer of unification. They all came into agreement and believed that God would do what he's going to do, as they just had the faith to believe. And then in the verses that follow, right, the believers in the book of Acts pray this unified prayer that is extremely dangerous. It's extremely dangerous because we know God is about to do something mighty and powerful and wonderful. And once again, I've broken it down for you in 3 points, okay? So, here's the question. So what made the believers' prayer extremely dangerous? Well, look at number one. It says, in their prayer, they realized that as followers of Christ, they would constantly be met with what? Much opposition from man, but acknowledge that their God is greater than all and knows all. I'm going to tell you, the very fact that you are a Christian, you are a follower of Christ. And, you know, it would be nice, right, if we just had that title, Christian, right? And nobody came against us. No one said anything against us. We just lived our lives, you know, fully devoted to God, and no one came against us. Well, we know that's not how it is, right? A lot of people can criticize you. A lot of people say, hey, how come you believe that stuff? Even your family, even your friends may kind of question you as to whether or not you're doing something that is sane. Because even when I became a Christian, a lot of my friends say, so what, Ben? You joined a cult. What's going to happen to you? I mean, almost like they get all these ideas that somehow I lost my mind. And you know, that's how the world will look at us. But we know the reality of what it means to have Jesus Christ in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives. And the world will not understand this, not until they make a decision to receive Christ into their lives also. But I want you to look at Acts 4. Verses 24, this is the beginning of their prayer. I want you to read it with me, okay? Where it says, O sovereign Lord, ready, go. O sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, you spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through our ancestor David, your servant, saying, why were the nations so angry? Why did they waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepared for battle. The rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah. In fact, this has happened here in this very city. For Herod Antipas, Pontius Pilate, the governor, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were all united against Jesus, your holy servant, whom you anointed. But everything they did was determined beforehand, according to your will. And you know, basically, when we read this, we realize, right, the believers knew that as much as their Lord Jesus was met with so much opposition from man, right, because when Jesus walked the earth, he was opposed by many teachers of the law, by even the Roman government, and they knew they would also have to face opposition. For Jesus told them, as much as they hated him, they will also be hated because they put their faith in Jesus Christ. Now, someone may ask, you know, if God already knows about the evil plots that are planned against his beloved, which is us, right? Why doesn't he just terminate all the evil plans, right? Why does God have to allow these things? I heard people ask me this, right? Because if God were to do that, right, we wouldn't be harmed or damaged in any way by these people, right, who wants to do bad against us. Well, the answer is pretty simple. We live in a fallen world, right? And people, they have the free will to choose good or evil. And You know, people who hate us and want to do harm to us will probably try their best to carry out their evil plans. But here's the thing we got to understand. God already knew of this beforehand. God already knew this, right? And God promises in his word that he will do the following. I want you to look in your notes. Romans 8, verses 27 and 28. Okay, read 27 with me. Ready? Go. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. So what does that mean? Well, the Holy Spirit will always be there to guide us and convict us from sin, because the Holy Spirit is our counselor, right? So that we're not going to choose the path of evil. And guess what else the Holy Spirit will do? He will alert us of evil. And if you're really into the Word, you're close to the Father, you hear the Holy Spirit's voice. You can never say, oh, I don't hear his voice. Yes, you will. As you read the Word of God, as you spend time with him, you will always hear the Holy Spirit's voice directing you, guiding you. And you know it's him because he's telling you things that touches your heart. And you know, he's always pleading for us to stay on the right path that will prevent us from being destroyed by the evil one. Because, you know, the devil, he's our enemy. And he wants us to be destroyed. He doesn't want us to have a blessed life. But that's why we got to stay close to the Father. We got to be in constant communion with him. We're always going to have to do our part in praying, reading his word, so that we come to know our Father God intimately. But here's the thing. Even though evil may still enter into a believer's life, because sometimes, yeah, we drift away. Sometimes we get distracted, right? God will never fail us, and he will never leave us alone so that we have to do it completely ourselves. No, God will be there. Even in those times when you drifted away, God promises that he will be there. And this is a second part of what he will do. Let's read verse 28. Ready? Go. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. And you know, believers who really believe this will hang on to their faith. You know, no matter how rocky life may get, because sometimes life can get pretty rocky, can it? You know, I mean, it seems like you're just being rocked to and fro. And sometimes you wonder, when is it going to stop, right? And we know, as you just put your faith in God, God, he promises he's going to work it towards good. It may look like it's so terrible right now, but you hold on to God, because he already knows about what you're going, even before this all happened, before whoever brought in this evil into your life, God already knew about it. He already did. But he knows, as you put your faith in him, he's going to get you through it. Amen? And you're going to see the blessing that will come forth as you keep your eyes fixed on his son, Jesus Christ. You know, there's this Christian theologian. His name is William MacDonald. And he states this. He says, victory in the Christian life is not the absence of conflict, but it is the presence and protection of God in the midst of conflict. It doesn't mean with victory that God always has to remove whatever it is that's causing you difficulty, causing you problems. No, it doesn't mean that. What it means that you can count on God being there for you, that the presence of God will only get stronger as you look to him, and that you can count on God's hand of protection to be upon you and not leave you. Amen? And we got to believe this. We got to understand this is the promise of God. And if you don't allow your mind to fully accept that, yeah, you know what? When problems come, you're still going to scratch your head. You're still going to wonder, is God going to come through? Is God really going to do anything? It already has to be accepted in your mind, in your heart, that God is not going to fail you. Amen? You must believe this with all of your heart. And you know, based upon Peter and Paul's statements in Scripture, we can see that they were totally firm believers of this. I want you to look in your notes and see what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 to 10. And look what his statement is. Read it with me. Ready? Go. So you see, the Lord knows how to rescue godly people from their trials, even while keeping the wicked under punishment until the day of final judgment. He is especially hard on those who follow their own twisted sexual desire and who despise authority. These people are proud and arrogant, daring even to scoff at supernatural beings without so much as trembling. Wow. So Peter says, hey, God knows how to rescue godly people from their problems, from their trials. In his mind, he's thinking, hey, I got a problem. I got a difficulty. It's God's. God knows how to rescue me. He always does, and he always will. And look what Paul says here. It's very similar to what Peter is saying. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 2 to 4. Read it with me. Ready? Go. Pray, too, that we will be rescued from wicked and evil people. For not everyone is a believer, but the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and guard you from the evil one. And we are confident in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we commanded you. And, you know, even the Apostle Paul says, pray. You know, because, you know, some people say, oh, I don't have to pray. God is always watching me, right? I don't have. No, Paul says you pray because there are people who want to do evil against you. Because remember, the Bible says the struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against what? The evil principalities, right? These demonic spirits that are influencing others to do bad things against us. You know what you got to do? You got to pray. This is what Paul says. Pray that we will be rescued from wicked and evil people. This is something we all must do. Because God, he already knows. But when you show to God, I'm trusting in you, I'm depending on you, God will always come through. And, you know, there was this missionary, you know, her name was Lori Anderson, and she ministered to the head-shrinking Kandoshi Chapra Indians of Peru, okay? And one day she was looking for a quiet place for her daily time of Bible reading and prayer, so she went by the edge of the river. And so after the reading, after reading her Bible, right, she took up her prayer list. And with her eyes closed, she did not see this deadly anaconda, this huge snake, right? You ever seen an anaconda? And it was weaving through the water until it struck her, right, burying its fangs right into her flesh. And it withdrew, right, to strike, hitting her arm again and again, right, as it held her tightly, causing her to scream in its coils. It then started to rear up and ready to do its death blows, right? This is how the anaconda works, right? It'll rear up and it'll give a hard hit blow and try to knock out, you know, its victim. Then suddenly, this giant snake, right, never known to release its prey. It never does this, right? Guess what? Suddenly, it went limp. It just relaxed. Can you imagine that? And it just let go of the grip. And you know, and what happened was Lori, she escaped from this, right? And you know, the snake just kind of slithered off, right? And so when she was being treated, this witch doctor now came from a nearby village and burst into her hut and just stared at her, a witch doctor, okay? And she couldn't believe that Lori had survived. And this is what the witch doctor told her. She said, you know, my son-in-law is also a witch doctor and had chanted to the spirit of the anaconda that morning and sent it to kill you, right? And Lori, she says, I'm certain that if not for the protection of God, it would have worked. But my God is greater. And you must believe this, right? No matter what man will try to do to you, you can say, oh, I'm going to send one evil spirit against you. My God is greater. I'm not afraid because my God is the greatest, and I trust in him. And this is the kind of spirit you must have within you, believing that there is nothing impossible with God. No matter it's a deadly snake or an evil witch doctor, right? God is always greater. And he will always protect us. You know, I got to tell you, when I was reading this, it reminds me of the time that I was teaching Bible study at the park. It's not as crazy and dangerous as this, right? But I remember as I was teaching Bible study, this guy started yelling from a distance. And he looked upset. He looked like his face was all scrunched, and he looked like he was about to hit me, okay, and hurt me, you know. And he told me, "You shut up." That's what he said to me. And he said, "You woke me up from my sleep, and I'm angry at you." And he came closer and closer to me, and I just started praying. I'd pray in tongues, and I said, "In Jesus' name, Father, it's in your hands." I remember just praying like that. But I remembered the Holy Spirit saying, "Ben, I'm with you. I'm with you." And so when he got real close to me, it was about maybe, I don't know, like a couple feet away from me, right? I just kind of looked at him, and he kind of looked at me. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not exaggerating this at all. His face was like this. And suddenly, woof. And then he smiled at me. I was like, "Oh, what's going on here, right?" And he then reached out his hand. "Hey, Pastor." And I go, "Well, what you going to do? You got a buzzer in your hand or something? You going to hurt my hand or something?" You know, and he just shook my hand. And then he just sat down, didn't say a single word, and he stayed for the entire Bible study. You know, I'm in my mind, I'm thinking, what just happened here, right? But I don't try to question it. I just say, "Thank you, Lord." You know, just like the snake, right? All of a sudden, the snake just, woof, just relaxed and just slithered away. I'm going to tell you, when you believe in God with all of your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength, expect these kinds of miracles to take place. I'm not kidding you. You could be in the worst of situations. You could be in a very violent situation. But you say, "Lord, I believe. You're with me." And God, oh, he's going to do his part. Amen? Count on it. Whatever trouble or predicament you're in, cry out. Cry out the name of Jesus and see what he will do. I want you to look at point number two now. It says here, in their prayer, they asked God for great boldness to speak forth his word in the midst of great danger. And I want you to read with me what it says here in Acts 4, verse 29. It says, "And now, O Lord, hear their threats, and give us your servants great boldness in preaching your word." Okay, you have to wonder why they were asking for such a thing. They're asking for great boldness. I can understand that, right? In what? Preaching your word. Because imagine their enemies, right, are cursing them and threatening to kill them. And they said, "Lord, give us boldness to preach your word." And so in order to find out why they asked for boldness in preaching his word, we got to go back a few verses in Acts chapter 4, and it's in verse 13. It's in your notes right now. I read this earlier, but I want you to read it with me. Ready? Go. "The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus." So what did they see as boldness, you know, with Peter and John? Well, first of all, the believers know that in asking for boldness from God, guess what? They knew something supernatural would take place. Not something that is natural. Because you know what? That's boring. When something supernatural happens, no one can explain it. And you know the only reason. It's God, right? And so they were expecting something supernatural from the hand of God. And guess what God gave them? Wisdom. Okay? And this is what the scripture tells us about wisdom. Just follow along with me and I'll explain what I'm talking about here. Look at Proverbs chapter 2, 6 to 7. Read it with me. Ready? Go. "For the Lord gives" what? "Wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless." And I want you to understand, when you have the wisdom of God upon you, right? It says his mouth will come forth knowledge and understanding. I want you to understand, because a lot of times people tell me, "You know what? I can't share my faith with others because oftentimes I don't know what to say." You know, this is what you got to believe. It tells us when you have the wisdom of God upon you, because you're in his word, you're praying, you're looking to him, guess what? His mouth will open through your mouth. You got to believe that, because a lot of times I don't know what to say. People, you know, come to me at the park and say, "Pastor, I'm going to kill myself tonight." And I got to say something that will prevent them from doing that. And I just say, Lord, I don't know what to say. Speak through me. And God gives me the words. And oftentimes these people, they decide not to do it, right? They decide that they're going to hold on to the precious life that God has given to them. And you got to believe God will do the same. Don't be afraid as people come to you and ask you about what you believe about God. And just say, Holy Spirit, speak through me. Because here's the thing. It's one thing to have knowledge, but to have knowledge and understanding that God will give it to you right at that moment that you need it. You're going to have knowledge and understanding. Suddenly, you're going to know what that scripture means, and you're going to speak it forth. And you know the person you're speaking it to? They're going to have total understanding. It's going to move them to tears. I've seen this. Where I just speak for the scripture, and suddenly this person, oh, just crying because the word had just touched their hearts deeply. This is what you must understand. The word of God, when it's spoken with his wisdom, right, you're going to have both. Not just the knowledge, because knowledge, we can just memorize it. And get, okay, I can memorize the scripture, and I can just recite it. Well, that's good. But do you understand it? The Holy Spirit will give you understanding. Amen? So that as you read it, oh, you're going to have such a great insight of what it means, and it will touch many hearts. I want you to listen to what Paul says about the wisdom he receives from God. I want you to look at Galatians 1, 11 to 13. Read that with me. Ready? Go. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preach is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught in it. Rather, I received it by what? Revelation from Jesus Christ. Wow. He received it, what? By revelation. So what does revelation mean? It was revealed to him by Jesus Christ. And remember, Jesus is our shepherd, right? Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. If you don't know his voice, it's questionable whether or not you really belong to him. This is what Jesus is saying. So he will reveal things to you. And as you minister to others, listen for the voice of the shepherd, because he will speak. And you'll be amazed. Don't discount it. Don't say, oh, is that really God? Is that really Jesus? No. As you hear his voice, say, Lord, I know that's you. And just open your mouth and let God's word come out of your mouth as you just know that it is him that is speaking through you. You know, as they recognize that they were men who had been with Jesus, right? I really believe that, you know, these teachers of the law, these Roman officials, right, that were coming against them, they knew that they had spent time with their master. And, you know, you ever been with someone who really loves God passionately, someone who just desires God's word more than anything? I mean, when you're with them, oh, for me, I know I just want to spend hours upon hours with them. It never gets tired or boring, you know. We could be talking for like 3 hours, and then, you know, suddenly, oh, wow, it's 8 o'clock already, you know, at nighttime, you know. We started like 4 or 5 o'clock. And, you know, that's the thing. You know, when you know someone is so close to the Lord, man, there's some kind of glow about them. You know, there's something about them that you know that they've been spending a lot of time with the Lord. And I want you to look at Psalm 16, 11, and see what this presence is all about, the presence of God that can be upon you or me, right? Read it with me. Ready? Go. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is what? Fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And for the person who spends much time in the word, much time just getting intimate with God, guess what? This person has fullness of what? Joy. And I'm sure these men look at them going, wow. You know, as they spoke forth the word, first they're not trained, right, in teaching the word, but they spoke it with great authority and they had great joy. I want you to look at Psalm 89, 15 to 16. Read it with me. Ready? Go. Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, Lord. They rejoice in your name all day long, and they celebrate your righteousness. And you know, for the person who really knows God so intimately, right, it's like they're constantly rejoicing in the presence of God. I mean, they don't want to stop talking about God. They don't want to stop, you know, just giving him glory, honor, and praise. And that should be for all of us, amen? That we should desire just to just speak forth of God's goodness in our lives. And you know, a person who has this kind, I want to call it an anointed boldness. Because some of us, we have this kind of boldness where we just want to continually speak of the goodness of God. And I got to tell you, for these people, right, they are bound to reach many people for Christ. Because guess what? They have no fear when it concerns talking about God. And they speak powerfully in ways that touches a person's heart, that this person will want to come to know Jesus. You know, there's this story about this famous preacher long ago, right, who pastored this church. And this church was filled every Sunday by people who traveled miles on foot just to hear his messages. And one day, as the church was emptying, right, this passerby asked one of the people in the church why this preacher's messages were so compelling. You know, they asked, why, what's so special about his message? Because so many people coming, you know, they travel from far, far away. And the person responded without hesitation. You know what he said? He said, "This preacher will take you up to the mountain and down to the valley. He will bring you to laughter and to tears. He will have you jumping with joy and then falling to your knees. But by the time he is finished, he will always have you at the very foot of the cross." And I hope and I pray, right, that when you come to this service, right, that it's not me that you're looking at. You're looking at the presence of God, and that you are brought to the very foot of the cross. Because at the very foot of the cross, the Holy Spirit will convict you. And he will show you how to become more holy and pure before him. Amen. And I want to tell you, this is true for all of us. That the Holy Spirit, as he speaks through us, you're going to be surprised, you know, that suddenly you're saying the very things you never thought you would say. You're saying things that are actually helping this person to want to do better. You're helping this person to want to turn away from their evil and turn to God. Amen? It is true for you. It is true for me, brothers and sisters. Don't think it's just for the pastors or the leaders. No, it's true for everyone. He will speak through you as you have the faith to believe. I want you to look at point number three now. It says here, in their prayer, they believed that God would undoubtedly demonstrate his power with great miracles. And I want you to read with me Acts 4:30. Ready? Go. This is the last part of their prayer. Ready? Go. "Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." And you know, what are they saying? They're saying, "God, stretch out your hand with what? Healing power." And they knew, these people, they wanted to see miracles take place. And perhaps these believers knew of what the prophet Isaiah said about God's hand being stretched out. I want you to look at Isaiah 14:26-27. I want you to read that with me. Ready? Go. "This is the plan determined for the whole world. This is the hand stretched out over all nations, for the Lord Almighty has purpose, and who can thwart him? His hand is stretched out, and who can turn it back?" And they knew, right, when God's hand is stretched out, as you pray for God's hand to be stretched out, whether it be over your problem, over your disease, over whatever it is, ask God, "As your hand is stretched out upon me, all that is not of you has to go." And you got to believe this. As you pray for God's hands to be stretched out, right, know that God will make you whole. He will heal you, and he will show to you how much you are so loved by him. You know, in his book, God is Good, you know, we're doing this study right now. You know, Pastor Bill Johnson points out the very fact that for the Christian believer, our first and foremost hope is in the fact that we know that Jesus, what is he going to do? He's going to return for us someday, right? He's going to come back, and he's going to take all the believers home to be with the Father in the Father's house forever and ever, right? That is our hope as Christians, right, as believers. But is this the same for the world who doesn't know God? Of course not, right? They don't even believe in God, right? They don't believe in Jesus. Their hope is not placed on the return of Jesus, but it is in the hopes, right, that in their most desperate situations, you know, some form of higher power will show up and a miracle will take place. You ever pray for someone who is an unbeliever who is on their deathbed? You ever did that? We did, yeah, and you did. And we know, right? They could have been like the one that totally opposed, right? Saying, don't talk about God. Just forget that. But suddenly they're on their deathbed and they realize they got no other hope. So suddenly they're saying, you know what? Tell me more about your God. And, you know, I got to tell you, me and John Lee, we prayed for people who are unbelievers and they got healed. And, you know, that's the thing, right? Because God wants their heart to turn towards Him. And sometimes God will allow that to take place. And, you know, as Christians, it is our duty to tell the world that God truly exists and that He loves them oh so very much. And that He is the one that truly can bring forth this miracle that they desire. And, you know, perhaps the Christian believers of Acts, right, knew that there were a lot of unbelievers, right, who are seeking a miracle to take place in their lives. It could have been a disease or whatever it could have been, right? But as they prayed, right, for God's outstretched hand of healing to come upon the people, they were hoping for this constant flow of God's miraculous power to come forth. So guess what? As they are healed, they will come to make that decision to receive Christ. And so God will do this. So we, as believers, got to speak forth, though. We got to be bold about it. Because if we're not bold, you know, they will not hear the gospel. And they will believe in some other thing that they believe can bring forth this healing. No, you speak it mightily, see. You tell them it's in the name of Jesus Christ that you are healed. And I'm going to tell you, God will do His part. He will show up mightily and powerfully. And I want you to look at John 14, 12 to 14. I'll read that with me. I love this verse. Ready? Go. I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done. And what? Even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father. You can ask anything in my name, and I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Okay, imagine Jesus saying, you're going to be doing even greater works than I did. Well, what do you think the greatest work of Jesus is? Well, Lazarus. What did he do with Lazarus? Raised him from the dead. Wait a minute. We're going to be able to do greater things than that? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But you must have faith to believe. You got to believe. I mean, you got to dig deep in your heart and soul. And know that God, He can do this if you just have that faith to believe. You know, I once read about this woman named Lisa Larios, who was once diagnosed with cancer of the hip when she was 12 years old. And she was unable to walk unaided. She always needs someone to help her to walk. And her family decided that chemotherapy was too traumatic, right? And called it off after one dose. So the family was Catholic, okay? However, you know, they never really thought of themselves being very religious. So one day, a family friend invited the family to a Christian healing meeting conducted by this healing evangelist. You probably heard of her. Her name is Catherine Kuhlman, right? And so the friend fasted and prayed for a week beforehand. And during the service, right, Lisa felt this warm feeling in her stomach. And Catherine Kuhlman, she sensed that immediately. And she said, someone in this section of the auditorium is being healed from cancer and should stand up. You know, Lisa, against her mother's wishes, she stood up and was able, right from that point, she was able to walk without any pain at all. And then later, she was x-rayed, right, several times after that. It became clear that something strange had indeed occurred. You know, further x-rays were taken and they were reviewed by several doctors, and it showed up that Lisa's hip had been fully restored. Cancer was totally gone. You know, God can do this. And you hear countless miracle after miracle after miracle. And I gotta share this one miracle that took place several years ago in our ministry. We were doing outreach at Alamona Beach Park, and this man in a wheelchair, along with his nephew, you know, this nephew was pushing him in the wheelchair, came strolling into our church service while I was preaching. And at the end of the service, right, this elderly man came up to me in his wheelchair and told me that while, you know, he and his nephew were waiting at the bus stop, he heard my preaching about God's power. And, you know, our speakers, they're very loud, so you can hear it far, far away, right? And so he said, "Can you pray over me? Because I don't know if I really believe in God, but can you pray over me? Because you talked about God's power." You see, what happened to him was that he was in a scuba diving accident over 20 years ago. And, you know, I didn't know about this, but if you go too deep into the ocean waters, right, what happens is your spine can compress and it can fracture your spine. And he was paralyzed from the waist down, okay, for 20 years now. So we got our team together and we prayed. We cried out to God. We say, "In the name of Jesus, Lord, pour out your healing upon this man." And after we finished praying, I kind of just looked at him. I think, Jimmy, you were there. I don't know if you were there, Milia. And then we looked at him, and he had tears in his eyes. And he said he felt like the strong presence. He can't explain. Something, strong presence had come upon him. And if you know Jonna Lee, you know, Jonna Lee, she's so full of faith, right? She took the man by the hand. "Time to get up and walk." And the man kind of go, "What?" Been 20 years. And you can tell, right? He had so much fear on his face. He was afraid that he would be in so much pain if he would try to stand up, right? And so we just encourage him. You know what? Jesus has healed you. You must believe. And he stood up, right, with the help of, I believe it was Julio. I think it was you, Milia. That, do you remember this? And then he just stood up, right? And to his astonishment, as he stood up, he thought he was going to be a lot of pain. He realized there was no pain in his legs. He got up. He walked about 50 feet in one direction, right? Then he just came running back towards us. And we go, "Whoa," you know? And I just asked him, I said, "You know what? You got to give your testimony right now. You got to give your testimony of what just happened here." He said, "Oh, yeah, I will." He took the mic and he just told everyone, "Jesus healed me. I was not able to walk coming here, but I'm able to walk now." And, you know, people who tell me, "You know, Ben, miracles like this don't happen today." How can you say that? We witnessed these miracles. And we know God does these things because that's what he does, because he loves us. And he desires us to be whole, to be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And if you believe, watch what God will do. I want you to take a look at the bottom line verse now. And this is the last verse in this chapter. You know, I want you to read it with me. Acts 4:31. Ready? Go. "And after this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with what? Boldness." I want you to understand, you know, in this world we're living in right now, you know, there's so many people that are lost, so many people that are full of just depression, and they feel like there's no hope in life. We got to tell them with boldness that Jesus Christ lives. And if you believe and you know that God will show up, guess what? The Spirit of God will come upon you and upon all the people you're praying for. He's going to show up mighty and strong and true. If you just know that God, he will do this for you. And what made their prayers so powerful was the fact that they were unified in the Spirit of God to believe that there is nothing that is impossible with God. And even though they were met with much opposition from the teachers of the law and the Roman government officials, they continued to meet together, right? And as they met together, they experienced the presence of God powerfully. You know, I can't help but to think of the underground churches in China, you know, in which, you know, the believers, they desperately long for God's word and presence. Even though they know, right, if they are caught, right, just worshiping together, oh, they're going to be in big trouble. They could be thrown in jail. I mean, they could be tortured or whatever they want to do to them, right? But they still choose to meet together. And I know you guys all know Kathy, right? And, you know, Kathy's from China. And she was shared with me about the fact that, you know, she was also, you know, going to these underground church services. And I want her to share some of the things, you know, that she had experienced, you know, while she was there. All right? Kathy, can you come on up? Let's give a round of applause for Kathy. Let me get the mic here.
Okay, thank you everyone. Have this chance can share my experience in China. I come from China. My first church is the family church. As Taiwanese come to our place, and actually this church no pastor. The we call the manager actually is the housewife, is the full-time housewife. And I baptized that church in the bathroom tub because Taiwan and China is a really sensitive topic in China. So that's why they baptized in their house. Actually, it's apartment. We don't have a house, apartment, small place. Their church is really grow really big. I remember it's every year maybe around 200 people baptized. Yeah, it's a really big church. They started just the mom, the daughter, and another brother. Now he's living in America. Three people, they start three people, family church. And I hear is the before they start this church in our place, they go to the police station to tell them we will start a church here, maybe a lot of people will come, so let the police station know. Because in China, if too much people together, the policemen will really sensitive. They will think, what are you guys doing? They will, because in China, government is number one. Yeah. Since we're from the school, we have to sing a worship song for the country, for the flag. We have to do flag every week. I think maybe like America, yeah, but we are more, how to say, in China, we don't have a Facebook, we don't have a Google. Our information is very, very limited. So we get the information is very limited. So sometimes we don't know what is truth. Then later, I go to another church, is the called a missionary church. It's, this church is underground church. And first floor, they do business. It's the pastor's son do the fix your shoe. And second is our church. It's really dark and small and really low, actually. My mom go there, and my mom tell him he don't like that because he say no fresh air. And he left. And this church is also like a family church because the pastor is the speaker, and the pastor's first son is operate the business, most times operate business, but same time he also support the church some small thing. And his wife is a teacher of this school. They have a lot of students come from village, and the first son's wife teach them. And second son is the leader of the worship team. And her wife is working, so this means it's a little one serve the church, one is do the business to support the family. And this church also growing. We went back as really growing this church. And my pastor actually has been to jail before, but I forget what's the reason. And she shared a little bit because he every year winter he's pain because in the jail people beat him. Yeah, so in China's jail is really it's not a really easy place to stay. And I also visit some churches. I have a chance to go to Chiang Mai of Thailand to join a bigger ministry the meeting, the 200 country and 3,000 Christian there to have a big meeting. And we live in the church. The pastor is Korean. Actually is a he served China, but I think maybe policemen know him and mark on his visa, so he have no chance to come back China anymore. But he never stopped to serve God. He go to Thailand, Chiang Mai, to serve God. And really, really humble, the pastor and the his kids are really good. They don't have money, but God provide them. They just totally serve God. And another pastor actually is my student, because I teach Chinese in China, and then the pastor actually, they come to the student first because they have a long time visa, can stay longer in China, and that's also can cover them to stay longer in China. And he told me, I think he's 70 some years old, he's very old. And he tell me actually one day after he go preaching in a church, he back and a policeman call him. He said, why you go to Chinese church? So that's why, actually, he told me, actually, Chinese people watching them. So China is have a lot of technology to watch us. So even though we are called WeChat, just like our Facebook, just your American Facebook. So we are, you know, policemen watching us. So that's why sometimes we talk about government, we don't talk about government, we talk Big Brother, something red, something, you know. And we talk God, we talk Daddy. So use our way to try to share something. It's not easy. Even though I remember we go to McDonald's, we say three people to pray. People also, it's a little, you know, really free. So, but in America, it's no problem. But in China, we have to really be careful. Yeah, that's what I experienced on Chinese church. And then, there is two videos. I came here. I saw the YouTube. I know some place actually is more worse than what I experienced. Sorry. Okay, that's 2018, last year. There's a village church. They are. Oh, sorry. Stop. Why? Yeah. Village church. That's the environment that they facing now. We can see that. That is a policeman stand behind the. I think he's not past, but I think it's their church pastor. But later we'll see. Okay, continue. Thank you. Policeman. Yeah, government. They. So. Sorry? Okay, stop. No. That's these two videos all share about underground church. We have a government church, but you know, church need to grow, yeah? But government church just really limit. So if we all go to government church, one is not too much they can involve. One is we need a different church come out, right? So, government church not too much Holy Spirit. They talk knowledge, just like here, like a Baptist church, more is about the knowledge. No Holy Spirit, no really strong feeling. It's hard to share, you know. And some government church, they also maybe have a talk about some of God. Government something. So this is we call WeChat, just like Facebook. We communicate through this, and people talking about, and all the chair they move away, take over, and sorry, 2 minutes. Okay, continue. Okay, and some chair move away, but we don't know when they move, and they say, oh, we don't know who they are. And they're just talking about. So this word means that a village is facing, they cannot have a meeting together. Okay, continue. This song talk about God, please protect our church. Okay, stop. And this actually, okay, this is actually, I cannot call him pastor, because I know a lot of family church, they are not training in go to Bible school, like pastor go to Bible school to very assistant to training. They just have a heart for God, so that's why they lead this group. For me, I feel it's a shepherd. We can call them a leader or something, but for me, it's a shepherd. Maybe they are not training very well, but they have a heart for this church. Okay. Okay, that is means I am the old soldier in China. Okay. This is his certification of a soldier. And this is talk about When I was young, I sacrificed my youth to the motherland. But now I cannot have a freedom for what I believe. Okay. I'm responsible for the church. But he also don't say it's pastor. This is our ID, it's his ID, Chinese ID. Some talk about God give us the no fear heart. That's still his certification. Okay, so. And here is talk about we are old people. We have a meeting at a home, but what's the rule we break? Ooh, yeah, what's the rule? They question that. Okay. Please return Bible and a chair to me. The chair and the Bible in our place is they take away no permission. And that time we have 10 people in our meeting. Sorry. Okay. Let's talk about 10 elder people. They have a meeting in their place, but the policeman come inside, no permission, take away everything. And I already called policeman, but police station no policeman come from the police station because they are together. You know, it's because it's the government want them to do that. So that's why he called. No use to be. It's no use. Okay. In China, the freedom of a human is really. They say we need the freedom of belief. I love Jesus. I love China. I love everyone. We sing a song, we worship, we sing a song, we read the Bible. What's a rule we break? Please return Bible and chair to me. I need a freedom of what I believe. To shoot the video. It's not easy to shoot a video because policemen there. They will take away your phone and throw it away. They will catch you. Later we will share the videos more words. Okay. Yeah. Okay, that's it. Is government to press the church and to break the cross and the church and capture the Christian? Okay, stop a little bit. This is talk about 2018 and June and Zhejiang, they get the warning. If you have the word like this word is Emmanuel, is this kind of word on your boat, and then they will see your boat is not is illegal. So you cannot go to ocean anymore. You cannot go to ocean anymore. The owner of the boat, one of the owner of boat, is say, now they in our law they write, no matter what we believe, we have a freedom. But actually, what they do is not a true. Is they are not do the true thing. They made the law. Okay. This is 2018, July 29. That is a government let some policemen and almost 100 people. They give them is because they build the building is illegal. So they take all the altar of the church. Actually, this church is a Catholic church. Okay. And that's a altar of this church. Actually, is a member. The donation is this much dollar. Sorry. Yeah. And this church 7 years already, And the people watching that, and they cry. They really, you know. Okay, continue.
心肝啊，心肝铁老啊，罪过啊。
Say all the sin. I think it's church member. Okay, sorry. This is August. This church is this place 70 church is actually as a, like a government church, and all the cross we are take away, and to change to the flag. And our flag, and the church member have to sing a worship government song. Yeah. Okay. Stop. This is okay. Sorry. This is 3 days. There is 21 church were destroyed. This place is Henan province. It's last year. Yeah, 3 days. I think this is more village. The government, they take away the name of the church. Henan province, they take away the cross, and no permission. They just pray, you know, one leader, one word, our cross destroyed. Yeah, God, you know. And this is a is all night they try to destroy this cross. That's also Henan church. Their cross is burned. Yeah. This is love, and this is Christian church. Yeah, same thing, yeah. Province more worse, some places more better. This is actually a Christian try to protect the cross and be captured by the policeman. Okay, this is a church. And they come here and destroy the place, and they don't show their certification. Yeah. And this is a Christian come to stop it, and someone they beat the Christian and take them to the jail. And now they don't know where they are now. And this is another church. They move away all the church, the chair, and everything. And this is they in the public burn the cross and Bible and the worship the book of worship like a sing a song one. This actually is in Beijing. Okay, stop a little bit. This actually is in the Beijing, and there's a lot of Christians stop here. This church already take over by the government, and a lot of Christians they stand here. They don't want to leave because they just wait to see what happened in this church. Yeah.
不愿意走，很多人都想下楼看看教会，教会上的宣教会的字样都被他们抠掉了。Yeah,
the word of the church they take away already. No one can go inside. This is a Chengdu, Chengdu, and 40 person come in this church and take away their Bible and their other book. Yeah, their pastor named Wang Yi now is in the jail and. His wife in the jail, and they put the same name to them there. So, this one.
All right, and you know it's important we watch, you know, a video like this because you realize sometimes we think, you know, man, we really got it tough here, you know, and how, you know, the government treats us and all this, right? But what's happening in China, you know? And the thing is, we realize, you know, we got it pretty good. I mean, at least we have freedom of speech. You know, we have, you know, the freedom to have these kinds of services and, you know, Bible studies, and we should be so blessed. I mean, to think that we have it so hard. No, we realize that we are to do what God called us to do. And, you know, because sometimes we think, oh, you know, I can't be too bold about what I say, because if I do, I can get in trouble. No. The fact is, you know, God, he wants us to be bold about speaking forth his word. Amen. And as you do, you know, many, many lives will come to know Jesus. Many hearts will truly know that his word is mighty and powerful. Yes. So I know you guys have a lot of questions. Is it okay at the end we can have more? Because, yeah, I think we're running a little late. I think Millie and Jimmy have to get to the park too, yeah? So just know the very fact is that, you know, God calls us to be bold, you know, because, you know, if we don't, right, who else is going to talk about the goodness of God? Who else is going to tell the world that Jesus Christ is alive? And you know, the very fact that, you know, we know there's these underground churches in China is because, you know, they're not going to be stopped. They're going to keep on worshiping together and give glory to God, because that's what's in their hearts, right? And that should be in our hearts. Knowing that we have this freedom, we should continue just to proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Why don't we go ahead and let's bow our heads, let's bow our hearts. Let's come before our Father in heaven. Let's pray. Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord, for this time, Lord. As we looked into Acts 4, we realize that Peter and John, they went forth in boldness and they proclaimed that Jesus Christ is Lord, even though there were many that were against them. Yet they continue to speak forth what is truth, because we know you put that in all of our hearts. As we know we accepted Christ into our heart, we got to be that mouthpiece to tell the world that Jesus Christ is alive and that Jesus is for them, that Jesus is not against them. If they choose Jesus, Jesus will bless them. Jesus will bring forth his goodness in their lives. And right now, with all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, you may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I just watched the videos that Kathy showed, and I just heard the message, and I realized there are times I haven't been bold enough. And even with my friends or family, I knew I had opportunities to maybe speak forth of who God is, but still, I chose not to, for whatever the reason is. And I realize the Bible says that the days are evil. We're living in days that we know that men, they will continue to do what their hearts desire, but it's not according to the word of God. It's according to their flesh. It's according to the ways of the world. And in your heart, you're saying, I want to rise up. I want to be bold for God. I want to speak his word mightily so that many will come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. If this is your heart's cry, can you just raise your hand and say, yes, I will take that stand, and I will rise up, and I will speak forth the word of God. Hallelujah. Anyone else saying, that is me, that is my heart's desire, that I will serve God with all my heart, and I will be bold in speaking forth of his goodness. Anyone else? Praise God. Praise God. All right. You can put your hands down. Thank you, Jesus. Father, you've seen the hands that were raised, but most importantly, it's the hearts behind those hands saying, Father God, I choose to live for you. I choose to be bold for you, and I will live for you all the days of my life. And I know, Father, there's one day that I'm going to be standing before you, and you're going to say to me, well, job well done, my faithful servant. You have served me with your whole heart. And you have spoke forth of my goodness. Welcome in to my kingdom. Welcome in to my Father's house. Father, we look forward to that day. And I pray that meanwhile, Father, we're going to continue to serve you with our whole minds, our whole hearts, our whole lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray all these things. And everyone says, amen. Let's get